Girolamo Savonarola. How many people know of this Italian reformer? Well, interesting, many people aren't aware that there were any reformers in Italy, but there was Savonarola. And he is famous and he's connected with Florence. Born of Italian nobility in the city of Ferrara in 1452, Savonarola was described as a serious and intelligent boy who at an early age gravitated to the writings of some of the most learned men in history. You see, on the Luther monument in Worms, Savonarola has a corner seat along with Wycliffe, Peter Waldo, and Huss. He received instruction in philosophy, logic, and medicine from his father and his grandfather. From studying the writings of Plato and Dante, he came to develop a deep spiritual hunger. And the pictorial illustrations of hell in Dante's Inferno, which is very, very popular reading in the Middle Ages, tormented him. In 1475, he decided to become a monk, and he joined the Dominicans. After an intense time of study, he was sent to the city of Florence. Well, in the 15th century, Florence was the center of the Renaissance, not just in Italy, but in the world. From this center of science and art, masters such as Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and Raphael all produced exquisite and timeless art. Just think of this painting, which is, I mean, this is a classic Michelangelo one, which shows Plato pointing upwards and Aristotle pointing downwards. So, Aristotle was earth-focused, whereas Plato was more heavenly. So here's Plato believed in the ideals and universals, whereas Aristotle was very much more concerned with what's going on down here. And you can see in philosophy, these are the two major directions and emphases that people can go on. So this is the marketplace. And again, this is the kind of art that Michelangelo produced in Florence. And of course, Michelangelo produced the Sistine Chapel, which is just staggering, like half a lifetime of work. And this is on scaffoldings. I mean, imagine he had to do a lot of this painting lying on his back on a scaffolding, balanced up there, painted on the ceiling, for days, weeks, months, years. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And all these biblical imagery themes that are depicted on the Sistine Chapel, well, in studying the writings of Augustine of Hippo, the 4th century church father, Savonarola came to see how far the church had fallen from its apostolic calling. Girolamo Savonarola began fearlessly to preach Christ amidst the moral decay and the irreligious lifestyles and the superstitious beliefs and unbiblical practices of the clergy and the community. He was just 38 years old when he began his work of reformation in Florence. Vast crowds gathered to hear his denunciations of the prevalent corruption and immorality. I mean, he was brave, he was bold, and the people were stunned to hear someone saying what they might have thought, but they weren't, obviously couldn't say these things. The majestic cathedral was filled to overflowing by citizens of Florence, eager to hear the celebrated orator expose the corruptions of the ruling Medici family, and the idolatry and the corruptions of the Roman Church. Savonarola preached repentance from sin with a growing earnestness, and many hardened sinners surrendered their lives to Christ and forsook the evil ways of life. The ruler of Florence, Lorenzo de' Medici, tried to silence the reform with gifts and attempted bribes. However, Savonarola was relentless and he was incorruptible. When Lorenzo was dying at age 44, he sent for Savonarola, but when the reformer found that Lorenzo had no intention of repenting of his sins, he refused him the blessing, which was customary to grant the dying. No last rites, no extreme unction. You're still unrepentant, you're still in your sins, and so no blessing for you, which was shocking behavior for that time. But he was, of course, trying to get this man's attention. You still are unrepentant for your wicked. You're at the brink of eternity, you're about to enter into Christless eternity, you're about to go to the pit of hell, and you are still justifying yourself. The people ousted Lorenzo's son and unanimously chose Savonarola as ruler of Florence. Now, he's just a monk. Well, for 3 years, Savonarola governed Florence with justice and efficiency. But you can imagine that the Medicis would not be happy with that. Savonarola intended the city to become an example of a Christian commonwealth in which God is the ruler and his gospel is the sovereign law. Dens of iniquity and vice were closed down. Gambling was outlawed. Licentious books and pictures were destroyed in a bonfire of the vanities. You've probably heard of that, bonfire of the vanities. It comes from Florence. Some people began to resent the strictness of the new rule. Pope Alexander was one of the most notoriously immoral popes with five illegitimate children whom he openly promoted to high office in the church. This pope engaged in most unscrupulous conduct. He is a thief. He did bribery, murder. Pope Alexander VI took the lead in attacking the reform of Florence. Obviously, reformers are a threat to anyone involved in corruption. Firstly, Alexander VI tried to make Savonarola a cardinal. You're so bad, won't you take a cardinal's cap? He offered him great bribes. And Savonarola rejected all these, declaring, I do not desire any crown other than the crown of martyrdom. Can you imagine? The Pope would be happy to give him that one too. Thereafter, the Pope attempted to spread slander to undermine the authority of Savonarola. Then the Pope excommunicated and imprisoned him. Notice people don't tend to get excommunicated in church history for heresy and blasphemy and sins. They tend to get excommunicated for being reformers, for trying to bring people back to the Bible. People who had previously acclaimed and supported Savonarola now allowed him to be tortured. And they joined in a chorus of condemnation of this courageous reformer who had only sought to serve them and the Lord in Florence. However, Savonarola remained steadfast. He refused to be shaken in his convictions, even after the most unbearable tortures. On the 23rd of May, 1498, Savonarola was burned to death in the great square in the city of Florence. Before a huge crowd, a bishop declared to the condemned Savonarola, I separate thee from the church militant and triumphant. Savonarola responded, militant, not triumphant, for you have no power to separate me from the church triumphant, to which I go. Savonarola died at age 45. Now bear in mind, the church militant is the church on earth. So the church on earth, we're meant to be the church militant. Not that you notice much militancy amongst the average churches today, but you should do. You know, we're called Protestants for a reason. We should be protesting. But the church triumphant is the church in heaven. They are triumphant. They've finished the labors. They've crossed the Jordan. They're in the promised land. And so you could see, I don't know if these terms are familiar to people these days, the church militant and the church triumphant. But as Savonarola said, you can separate me from the church militant, but you cannot separate me from the church triumphant. We must regenerate the church, taught Savonarola. None are saved by their own works. No man can boast of himself. And if in the presence of God, we could ask all these justified of sins, have you been saved through your own strength? All would reply to us as one voice, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to him be the glory. Which is the psalm which inspired the Soli Deo Gloria battle cry of the Reformation. Savonarola gave special emphasis to the authority of the Bible. I preach the regeneration of the church, taking the scriptures as my sole guide. So here again, we can see Wycliffe, Huss, Savonarola, they held to sola scriptura. Scripture alone is the ultimate authority. As Savonarola was being severely tortured in the rack, that means stretched on the rack by wheels being tightened as their arms and legs are stretched, he prayed, O Lord, I do not rely on my own justification, but on thy mercy. In between his tortures, he wrote meditations on Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, which Martin Luther later published, describing them as a piece of evangelical testimony and Christian truth. Savonarola met his martyrdom with courage and faith, declaring, should I not willingly die for his sake, who willingly died for me, a sinful man? Here is the place in the marketplace in Florence where Savonarola was burned alive. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Jesus said, do not fear God. I will tell you whom to fear. Do not fear man. I will tell you whom to fear. You should fear God, who has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. So again, Savonarola is another one of the pre-reformers, and all his text is in the Greatest Century Reformation book.